Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. We've been talking about the perils of Planned Parenthood, and our guest last week and today again is Ray Bowen, President of Probe Ministries. And last week we traced the fact that Margaret Sanger, who began Planned Parenthood, firmly believed in eugenics, which sounded like and then turned out to be similar to Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest. And I'm just going to ask our guest to very quickly review what eugenics is, and then we're going to talk about how they would apply this in the past, in the present, and in the future to, as it were, stop the inferior breeding of black and substandard peoples. Well, Ray, welcome to the program again. Give us a little background on eugenics, please.
Sure. Well, eugenics is the word essentially means good birth. And so a eugenics policy is trying to improve the genetic quality of the people or the population that's being ruled over or whatever, and also to discourage the lesser members from breeding too freely, if you will. And that's all about improving the genetic quality of the species over the long run.
Well, I noticed from the material that we have here that when she started out in 1924 or 25, it was very clearly her agenda that she wanted to make more children from the fit, less from the unfit, and this is the chief aim of birth control in order to create a race of thoroughbreds. And we've linked the survival of the fittest theory to that, and we linked Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf and struggle for what he wanted to do to exterminate the Jewish people. Now, in the beginning, if I understand correctly, the method through which this eugenics would take place would be sterilization. And then in 1973, we ended up with Roe versus Wade, which allowed for abortion. And they're the chief provider of abortion around the country. And by the way, when we talk about their racist philosophy, almost two-thirds of their centers are located in urban centers where there's a dominant part of the population being black. Now, what about today and what about tomorrow? Do we have to fear anything more than enough to fear right now with abortion? But is there more on the horizon we should be worried about?
Well, I think there definitely are. I mean, when we just think back briefly again, from the 1900s to the 1970s, there were over 65,000 Americans that were forcibly sterilized in over 30 states that had such laws. And I think the last one wasn't repealed until the mid-1970s. So, and obviously once abortion came along and was legalized throughout the country, well, then we didn't need that anymore. What we are seeing happening, as you mentioned, not only are two-thirds of the Planned Parenthood clinics located in urban centers with high black and Hispanic populations, but also the statistics show that one out of every three babies in America that's aborted is African American.
Even though their population numbers are not equal to
one-third.
About
10%.
Wow.
Yeah. And then what I just read recently from an African American commentator was that, who is aware of this problem, that if you include abortion as a cause of death in the black community, it is the number one cause of death in the black community. So, you know, Margaret Sanger's ideas from the beginning were to improve the race and discourage reproduction in others, and she clearly put African Americans in that category in her writing. She was very clear and open about that, and the white wealthy population was seen as the fit and the thoroughbreds, as you've called them. And although Margaret Sanger isn't prominent today, her books and writings are still available, and Planned Parenthood still follows her prescription. And as we mentioned previously, the black community largely is unaware, but there's a growing minority who's getting the idea. They're reading her works. They're seeing how Planned Parenthood operates. We've even had a few states, such as Texas, that has taken their state funding away from Planned Parenthood for those very reasons. So some of these things are becoming known, and we're reacting against it. But I think what will be even more tricky and almost insidious is how these policies could even be enacted still in the future.
Well, I just want to back up for one question, then I want to follow up on that lead. And that is, we asked last week, and again, you're commenting on the fact that most of the African-American community is not aware of this racist philosophy that drives Planned Parenthood in part. And I know we've interviewed several wonderful African-American pastors around the country, Protecting Black Life and another institution and so forth. And they have said the same thing, that they find that they need to keep the black community informed of this. Well, now, if you're talking about social justice among whites, do not the whites know this is going on? Or are many of the whites who are so-called liberal ignorant of this, or are they also in line with this?
My guess would be, honestly, that for the most part they're ignorant. Some of the more educated left-wing people might be able to see what's happening, but they might not necessarily see it as racist. It's just an opportunity to dwindle the population however they can. If they do it through the black community first, so be it. And because there have been some evolutionary biologists even today, Eric Pianca is one at the University of Texas, who a couple years ago who was awarded a Life Achievement Award by the Texas Academy of Science. And in his acceptance speech, he actually said that the best thing for the planet would be something like an epidemic of the Ebola virus that would knock out the majority of all human beings, leave us with a population of about 500 million, and we start over. He said that would be the best thing to happen.
So he wants a horrendous Holocaust to take place.
Yeah, let's kill off 6.5 billion through some kind of epidemic we can't stop.
But at least he's not defining it along racial lines.
That's one thing he would like about that, is that it would be, as far as we can tell, indiscriminate killer. But we've got powerful tools now where we can identify certain genetic traits in fetuses, among the unborn. We can do genetic testing. We can determine the sex of the baby. There are already fertility clinics and abortion clinics that will make these services available. And if the baby is the wrong sex, we'll abort that for you. Or if your children have a reasonable chance of a certain genetic disease, and we can test for that, and we find that your baby in the womb does have this genetic disease, well, you can abort that baby. And once you start doing that kind of testing and using that kind of rationale, well, it's not far behind before you start doing that with younger ones who are already outside the womb. Well, we already have Down syndrome babies that are born that they weren't diagnosed as Down syndrome beforehand. In hospitals here in the U.S., parents are informed of the disability, and they're simply asked, do you want the baby or not? And if they say no, the baby's put aside and it's allowed to die. So these kinds of decisions, although they're being made currently on an individual basis, so we're looking for, I want good, healthy children, and if I can manipulate that in the womb beforehand, I'll do it. But we also have the prospect, as if we do move forward with some kind of national health care situation, then you really begin to run into problems, because some of these decisions will be made because of the costs involved. Is this person going to be a reasonable contributor to society or not? And do we award the special care that this individual truly needs?
Well, that sort of plays out again, the survival of the fittest, and now it's even more possible for science and government to determine who the fittest really are, whether or not they should survive in the womb or whether they should survive outside the womb. Outside the womb is infanticide. Of course, we believe it's murder, too, when they kill a baby inside the womb. The sonogram has helped us understand that, but you're saying what science is going to do is help understand how much more clearly you can see what's going to happen and make a decision ahead of time to abort in the womb rather than outside the womb.
That's right.
A horrendous place to be. It sounds to me like Rome. When Rome was in existence years and years ago, when they had babies they didn't like, they'd throw them away. They'd kill them. And Christians sometimes would pick them up on the streets and let them live because of their mercy and compassion, but Romans did not. Ray, we thank you so much for being with us today. It's quite alarming to think that a major organization like Planned Parenthood, who, by the way, has many faults within it in terms of its criminality and its morality and everything else, but to say that their agenda primarily to begin with and is not really changed now is to destroy people who they consider inferior, black or otherwise, in order to let the human race survive with the fittest. That's a terrible philosophy we can thank Darwin for and wish it would someday go away. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Join us next week at the frontier, where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.
Mars Hill Energy Productions.